You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you have a baby, it just like, it gives you a motivation like nothing else. Try and get on well with your builders and to choose your builders carefully.
If you can try and talk like a builder, I think that's really important.
You can't even imagine how much dust there's about to be. I have heard some horror stories about it. Some people might worry what pictures their husbands have on their phone. But not me. He's just got pipes, electrics, and the dog.
That's a hack for you dads out there.
And maybe, you know, whatever the budget says, double it. Anyway, I don't know how we got onto this.
Yeah. Renovation.
Yeah.
Makes you want to go on holiday.
Hi, guys. I'm Emily.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome back to our podcast, What They Don't Tell You.
But we will.
Yes, the podcast where we share the lessons that we've learned and are still learning during parenting. And today's episode is quite niche, I would say, because we aren't talking specifically about parenting, are we?
Yeah.
But there is nothing like a baby to make you want to renovate your house.
No.
Or do up your house.
Been our only reason.
Yeah, or move house.
Yeah.
So today we are going to talk about renovation and everything we wish we'd known before we started renovating, because there is quite a lot.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We've got some tips, haven't we?
Yes.
Ten tips.
Mm-hmm.
Of what we've learned. And if you're renovating, the thing is, it's like you say, it's niche, so it's not relevant to everyone, but everyone lives somewhere.
Yes.
Ideally, mm-hmm. Hopefully. So whether you've renovated before or you're renovating or one day hope to renovate, you can probably learn something.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully this will be really helpful because we've actually renovated 4 times,
it's
haven't
true.
We?
Yeah.
Always to do with, like I said, like I've got pregnant. We've thought, oh my
You've
God.
Got pregnant, yeah.
We have got pregnant. And then we think, oh my gosh, we need more space. We need another bedroom. So that has normally been like the reason, hasn't it?
I would say though, like there's such a thing about having a baby and like, oh, we need a bigger space.
Mm.
And like everyone gets so obsessed, especially like the nursery thing. I was talking to someone the other day, I was expecting a baby. It's like you get so obsessed about this baby's nursery.
Mm.
And we learned.
They don't even sleep.
We learned from the first, because obviously we actually had our first child in in a flat. And we were like, we've got to get out. It's one bedroom flat. We've got to get out so we've got space. And then we bought a small 3-bedroom home.
Mm.
It was our first house. And like we did everything we could to get this nursery ready. And then the baby was like, our eldest was in our room for 3 years. And it was just like, we'd done all that just for that. And we could have quite happily lived in that one bedroom flat. So I would say to people, and I know things are hard as well, like especially now with property, it's totally different. Don't obsess over that. That's a parenting tip. I think it's really not that important. Yeah, we've never gone crazy about a nursery, have we? So anyway, we had a 1-bedroom flat. That was the first journey. When we literally gutted that, didn't we? We ripped the whole thing out.
Mm-hmm.
New kitchen, everything.
Yeah.
We had a few mishaps along the way as well, didn't we? We had a flood and sold just before we sold it, etc.
Yeah.
And then we bought our first house, like I said, within...
Well, he was 3 weeks old.
3 weeks, yeah. So we moved within 3 weeks of having
I think
a newborn.
He was born on the 7th and we moved on like your birthday, didn't we? Like the 21st or something like that of December.
Yeah, so just before Christmas,
mm-hmm.
which also was my busiest time at work as well. So we had it all going on.
It was all...
That's another story.
But that is, again, like when you have a baby, it just like, it gives you a motivation like nothing else.
No.
And you feel like you just do everything all at the same time.
It's like when your baby's born, like life just... to me just suddenly made sense.
Mm, and you have this purpose of like, well, we need
didn't have
this.
Before.
Well, you don't really, well, you do
you
have
think
a purpose.
You, do.
You think of work and everything is your purpose, and then you have a baby and you're like, oh, scrap all that.
Yeah, that's what this is about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so actually about this.
We moved to be fair, it's the same with our flat. The flat was the only one we could afford because
yes,
we were young.
Yeah.
Literally, we knew the area we wanted to be in.
Mm.
So we literally bought the cheapest flat we could get.
Yeah, it was horrible when we moved in, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It needed everything doing
yeah.
to it.
Yeah.
But with every renovation, I think we've learned so much.
Yeah.
And in this house, which is, you know, hopefully our forever home, we feel like we've finally got it right.
Yeah.
So we've got 10 tips and hacks for anyone that is embarking on renovating or... you know, improving a home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We probably should say that, sorry, we then moved to a house which we renovated twice before we moved to this house, didn't we?
So, yes.
And that was our first house. And again, it was the cheapest house we could find.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. You just saw, before we bought it, you saw, it's the same with the
Don't
flat,
be
though.
Horrible
you,
to our house.
You saw the potential.
Yeah.
Because it did have a little bit of scope to.
But then when we moved into that, into our first home from our flat, I remember moving in and thinking, I can't believe this is ours.
Yeah.
I can't believe we can have 3-bedroom semi-detached house. Like, I couldn't believe it. Obviously, it needed everything doing, but,
we just started straight away on that, didn't we? Decorating.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it really was bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But that's the home, like, if you're watching this on YouTube, that is the home that everyone will remember in our early videos. And it's so funny. I get messages now from people saying, I really miss your old house. And there was something about it.
Oh, no, this one's horrible. I can't stand it.
No, but like, I don't know. It's just like so much happened in the house.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
When we moved out, we'd been there for 10 years. And when we moved, like, I got super attached to that home because I was like, this is where every baby's taken their first steps.
Yeah.
Everyone's had their first bite to eat. Everyone's, you know, like every baby first was in that home.
Yeah.
So it did take a lot for us to... move away from that.
It was very much like a passion project, I think, us moving, wasn't it? Like coming here, it was like, obviously we outgrew the house slightly, but it was still great. I still feel like we could live there now.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
We could have.
We'd be on top of each other a little bit in some of the spaces, but it would serve its purpose completely.
Mm-hmm.
And we was obviously fortunate enough to be able to do this.
Yeah. But I think something that no one will know about you is that you actually love it. You love renovating. You love interiors.
It is a bit addictive.
It is addictive, but you love design. Like, you've got an eye for it and you're really into it. Like, I've always said to you, oh, I think you should like do a course in it or something, because you're so natural.
Yeah, I know, selfishly, I feel like I've only got passion for my own project. I don't know if anyone else feels like that, but I just feel like, I go to other people's houses and I'm intrigued and like, I love looking at other design. But I feel like when you have a house, especially like this, and the one we had, like you do live and breathe it. Like you literally walk around your own house all the time going, oh, we could actually put that there. Oh, where's the sun there? Oh, do you know what I mean? And you only notice the dirt yourself, don't you? Do you know what I mean? That spaces that do and don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know about a career as doing
no,
it.
But I'm
and then
just
we
saying,
got someone to help us with this as well. We had like an interior designer, which obviously really helped.
But I mean, you, Matt, is forever, you know, saving things on Instagram, getting inspiration. Like you do really love
that's
it.
That's the fun part, I think. That is the process, isn't it? I think. And
it is
so addictive, renovating a property.
Mm.
And you're addicted to looking for property.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to saying no.
Did I find this one as well? I'm the finder.
No, but to be fair, we actually secreted this house, didn't we?
We did secret this house.
We'd both seen this house for years.
We manifested
it. And dreamed of it, to be honest with you, didn't we? Because it is a dream home.
Yeah.
And we thought, oh, imagine that one day being able to live there.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
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 So
tips. Should we?
Yep, yep. So first up, which I think is probably the biggest tip.
It's a hard one.
It is a hard one. We were saying about things are addictive and when you move in somewhere, and I watch people do it time and time again, and I don't want to say because it's obviously their house, it's their dream. But the first main tip, I think, is to avoid starting work
immediately
on any property.
Mm.
I don't know, a flat or a house that has no scope to do anything other than just decor. But even still, I still feel like you might change your mind on who's going to have what room or what's going to go in what room. So I would just avoid starting any work.
Just, you mean to like live in it?
Yeah, to live in the space
first.
I mean, we would have started this house. So we little backstory, we actually got planning permission on this house because of COVID. It meant that we applied for planning permission, which was a risk that we spoke to an architect and I said, can we apply for planning permission if we don't own the home? He said, yeah, of course you can, but it's going to cost you. And then if you don't, if the sale falls through, then you've wasted the money. And yes. We were like, okay, but we think it's like a risk worth taking. We felt confident we was going to move.
Yeah.
So when we moved into the house, we already had planning permission. So we're like, right, let's go. Let's do what we want to do. But fortunately, the builders, because we have a good builder, they just weren't available. Like when
for
we said,
year.
Oh, can you just start in 2 months? No, we can't do it for another year. Or I think it's like 8 or 9 months.
Yeah.
Which meant we lived in the space through all the seasons for 12 months. Mm-hmm. So you see the sunlight in different times of the day.
And even just like, it was like silly things. Like we would take the bins out to where the garage is.
Yeah.
And then we worked out actually having the kitchen on the side of the house where you would take the bins out would be a really good way to have it. Whereas originally when we came in, we were going to have the kitchen on the other side of the house.
Yeah.
So just little things like that. Once you lived in it and we were like, oh, the sunlight hits there. That's not going to be ideal for filming or whatever.
You'd see me and I'd be out there and I'd be like holding up my hand as if it was like a wall or glass and stuff and working out. obviously not everyone's going to be as OCD addicted to their, but you'll be surprised how addicted to your project you will actually get, and you do get so consumed by it. So that's why it's quite nice when it is done to like get your life back, as it were.
Yeah, but it is tempting when you move into a house that's not to your taste, that it might be a bit of a mess, to just gut it and do it all in one go.
Yeah.
But actually, if you can hold off, then
we did. It took us four years. Then so after a year we started the construction, so we majorly knocked down the back of a house, stills, beams, etc. But even still, the bedrooms, like we just sort of did a couple of them upstairs before that, didn't we? Because we wanted somewhere for us to be when the renovation was going on. And we wanted the boys, not that they actually care, we wanted them to be comfortable as soon as possible and to have their spaces. And then we just slowly went round room by room, and we've done the whole house up over like 4 or 5 years. I just think,
I know, if you can live in it,
yeah,
then
if you're lucky
definitely
enough, yeah. And talking of which, go on, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. He's passionate about this.
Don't get me started.
Matt is so
I'll
passionate.
I'll let you say something.
Matt is so passionate about this. And it's funny because like throughout the whole process, I was like, what do you think of this? It was like immediately shut down.
Yeah, but I've seen reels and it's like the other way around. It's like when my husband suggests an idea for the interiors of the house, and we're actually the other way around, aren't we?
I'm like, do let me have some ideas, some things. But the second tip is to get ready to live in dust. I think, you know, you can't even imagine how much dust there's about to be.
Nothing can prepare you.
Yeah.
And people say it to you, don't they, about the dust.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, you're constantly cleaning, you're constantly, but it's like another level, isn't it?
Yeah, you think, that's so
negative. Can't be that bad. It's exciting.
Yeah.
But one good thing is, obviously, we moved into this house. We had 3 kids. They were 10, 7, and 4 at the time.
Yeah.
And we were really concerned about, you know, how are they going to be in this building site? Like, is it going to be dangerous? Is it going to be difficult for them? Like, half the house was missing. Is it going to be cold? We were so worried about the kids.
Yeah.
And actually, they didn't care at all.
No.
They could not have cared less.
No, had a triple bunk bed, didn't we?
We knew one bedroom wasn't going to be touched.
Yeah.
So we had a triple bunk bed in there. And we thought, okay, worst case, they can all sleep in that room together.
Sleepovers.
And then we had one livable living room.
Yeah.
And they couldn't have cared less.
No.
Like, we had loads of takeaways at one point. We had like loads of slow cooker meals, air fryer meals.
It's a bit like holidays, isn't it?
Care.
Kids, like, they don't care. Like you go on a nice holiday for you. You know what I mean? Just
you book a nice hotel, but they don't care.
No,
they've
got each other. They probably make friends. As long as there's a swimming pool somewhere, they'll be happy.
Mm-hmm. But we also, for some strange reason, decided to adopt a puppy.
Yeah.
when we started the building work, because the theory was, like, I really wanted a dog, but I also thought, while all the floors are changing, like, what better time to potty train? Like, it doesn't matter if she wheezes on the carpet, if she, you know, it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
So we also got a puppy. So I did feel like we had it all going on.
Yeah, which, to be fair, looking back now, because, I mean, we've got a nice cream house. And yeah, it would not be ideal having a puppy. But then I don't think that's a reason to not get a puppy, because you're house proud. I think, like, if you want a dog, like, get a dog. But yeah, looking back, it was a good idea. But we did still have the safety of the dog getting out.
Yeah.
The worry of the builders being
here. Yeah, because the
builders
leave the door open.
Yeah, but yeah, builders obviously is not there.
Yeah, it was a little bit stressful.
Yeah, so every now and then she did get out. And then that's my next point, is about creating like safe spaces.
Yeah.
So like try and create, especially if your kids are really young, you want to create a room where they are safe, safe to hang out, which is easier said than done.
Yeah.
Because you don't know when they're going to be knocking things down, etc. And then if you're lucky enough as well, try and create a separate access for your builders.
Yeah.
Because we didn't actually, we had that in our last house, didn't we? Because we had a side gate. So it was like a bit of a funny layout.
Yeah.
Whereas here, again, we have side access on the house. But if you haven't, if you're terraced, do you know what I mean? I still think there must be ways that you can sort of like, I don't know, if it's a certain time they have to arrive, do you know what I mean? And if you've got that separate room for the kids where they are being shut off.
Yeah. Because builders do arrive at like the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
I'm always like, I remember coming down in my bathrobe and like, you know.
9:30 a.m.
No, literally just woken up. I think it was like 7 a.m. Literally just woken up, baby in one of my arms, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, oh, hi, guys. Like, they were already there. And you're like, hello. Yeah. So you do have to kind of be
gone
like,
by 2 o'clock, though.
You got to be ready. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also think you should have a dedicated space for deliveries. So, like, we used our garage, like, we've got a fairly big garage. But even still, if you don't, do you know what I mean? And you've got the space somewhere, I know it's hard. But having that space where you just know that is where all the renovation bits are. They're not scattered. Even the smallest bits, a tap or whatever, do you know what I mean? They always just go in the same place.
Yeah.
And then you can at least send the builders there and say, well, they must be here somewhere.
Oh, and we should say, check in the deliveries.
Yes.
Because things would just come with that. Oh, that door's come. Great. Just literally leave it there.
Yeah, what did we have?
No, it was the light switches.
Yeah.
So then we were just like, great, they've come, just left them, not checked them. And then on the day where they were all supposed to go in, we were like short of one, or it was the wrong color or the wrong size. So like, if I could go back, I would have like checked every delivery as well. Or like, so sometimes if you open something up, it'd be damaged.
Yeah, no, that's like, where we messed up majorly. We had a coffee table.
That was it.
Yeah, and we didn't open it for like three, 4
months.
No, we
were like, keep it protected.
Because we got the room designs or whatever, and we was like, right, we're just going to order all the stuff, we'll be on it. So it's ready to go. And that was in the garage. And then we obviously went to dress the area and we got this coffee table out and it's completely broken.
Yeah.
And it was from a company
that had gone into liquidation.
That had gone under, which has now come back. Someone obviously bought it. Yeah, yeah. So it's like we couldn't even complain because it just completely gone.
Yeah.
Which is really frustrating.
Yeah.
But lesson learned.
Yeah.
So now we do check. Well, we don't really buy so much furniture now, but that is that's a great tip actually, to check deliveries when they come.
Yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And the next tip is a big one, and it is to try and get on well with your builders and to choose your builders carefully. Because I feel like we were really lucky with ours. Like, a lot of the builders that we had were like dads. They would clean up at the end of the day. They'd make sure no nails were on the floor, like for the kids. And they were like really, really good.
Yeah.
But I have heard some horror stories about it. And like, we would do things like on a Friday, like Matt would get them, you know, like stuff from the bakers, and we'd give them loads of biscuits and sweets, beer, whatever it takes to like be friends with them, offer them cups of tea and stuff like that. You can actually leave them a kettle as well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, we did talk about having a dedicated space, didn't we? Like, so you actually have tea, coffee, biscuits, just somewhere.
Yeah.
We didn't quite have the area for that.
No, but in that where I work from home, I
yeah, we was
mind,
here, but then yeah, like, sometimes you'd be like, oh, I'm making 6 cups of coffee.
I know. And it'd be like, everyone has something different and you're like, oh, I don't know. But even that just like means you get on well because they're going to be in your space for like quite a long time.
If you can try and talk like a builder, I think I was that's really say. Important.
Matt, and I think I've seen some reels online. Like, I think this happens to a lot of guys. You've got a builder's voice.
Don't know what you're talking about.
But when Matt talks just day to day, he's quite well spoken. He's got a nice, you know.
I think it's a skill.
It's a good communication skill.
Yeah, you adapt, don't you?
Yeah.
It's like if I meet someone that's Russian, I speak Russian. But
no, but when I'd hear you with the builders, I was like, who is that? Oh, it's Matt. He's like, all right, mate. And you
it's
talk,
just something
you
I
talk
do.
All like, yeah. to know, you'd get
just
your like
my dad with his Spanish accent.
Yeah. You got to tell
it
them.
It is a bit like going
you gotta
on holiday.
Tell them
it is a bit like going on holiday, right? And like, yeah, someone can't speak their language, but they can speak.
The accent.
They can speak the accent with in English.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing more cringe.
Yeah, when we're in Spain with your dad, like he can't really speak it that well.
Speaks a couple of words and then he just brings on his Spanish accent, which obviously they really understand
think
well.
We'll have one more.
Yeah. It's not Italian.
Oh, sorry. You know I'm not good at accents.
Yeah, I can see because Fraser, our oldest, learns Spanish at school.
Hmm.
And like he can speak a little bit, can't he? And he's looking at his granddad and like,
he's like, what was
what?
That?
So what?
That was literally English.
Yeah. We're so oh, bad as a nation though, aren't we, with languages?
Mm-hmm. And the next tip is to budget, which is, you know, a scary word.
Massive factor.
Yes. But if you can sit down and write a list of everything, like per room, of everything that needs doing and put it in priority order, and then you can decide what you do now and then what you can do later, because there's definitely things that we left until later.
I think room by room is so important because you do just like, it's a bit, you're a bit blasé otherwise and you sort of like go over, you miss.
You underestimate. Especially
like furniture, I mean, interiors as well. After you sort of, you think, oh yeah, a few hundred quid for that, when in fact, things don't cost that.
No.
And you're going to spend a small fortune if you're reconstructing the house anyway.
Mm.
And obviously you can't, they have to go first. I mean, you make the construction and then you work your way through the rooms, but prioritize the rooms as well. So for us, kitchen was like such a big thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's where we live.
Yeah.
Like this main living area was like, you know.
Yeah, that was the deal. We put all our time and money into that. And then we've gradually gone around and done the other rooms.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, especially now, we always keep saying it, but obviously even for us, like 5 years, we started this project four and a bit years ago and things have gone up so much since then.
Even then,
So it is so important to budget because you don't want to be left, you don't want your house to be a mismatch either. Do you know what I mean? You don't want your one thing bit to be amazing and then like not have the flow everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why obviously doing it in stages. But then when you write it down and you list out, that is horrible as well. But if you list out the costs of things, that's when you start to realize just how much this is going to cost you. And is that investment or is it an investment? Do you know what I mean? Is it actually going to end up costing you way more money than the house is going to be worth?
And like even what things can wait, because we waited till like a year or two after for garden furniture because we were like, well, obviously that's not like, you know, we need it right now, but maybe in the future we can afford it.
Yeah. So we'd rather do things once and properly than.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, whatever the budget says, double it.
Well, I wouldn't quite say double it.
No, but have that contingency because things go up or, you know, you start working on something and then something else is uncovered that you then have to take care of before you even do the thing.
Yeah.
So you do need a bit of extra.
But we use eBay a little bit for stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think don't underestimate secondhand.
Oh yeah, secondhand.
Secondhand bits, recycled. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Oh, we did that amazing hack. You know, you get a picture of what you want, and on Amazon you can just upload it. There's a little like in the search bar. There's a camera
icon. Always wondered
icon.
What that camera icon was for, right?
Yeah, but you can do that on Etsy. You can do it on Amazon, like quite a few websites, and you can upload a picture. And we did that with a few. There was a sideboard we wanted and it was really expensive.
Yeah.
We put it into Amazon and there was one for like 100 and something pounds.
Yeah, it was like we found something for like 600 quid, like a sideboard. We was like, we can't pay that.
Yeah.
So you put a picture of it on Amazon I think it's probably nicer, the one that we've ended up getting.
Yeah, and it was £100.
Yeah, £120 or something. Yeah.
And it's just exactly the same. Yeah. It's perfect. Yeah, so that's a really good hack.
It is great.
And actually, we did that with, there was a throw cushion. It sounds silly. It was a throw cushion we wanted for Fraser's bed, but it was £90. Yeah. We're like, can we spend £90 on this not throw pillow?
Not on my watch.
Put it on Amazon. It's £10.
Yeah.
Like, it looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about that big.
It's any tiny.
The cushion.
Yeah.
Which takes me on to my next point about budget. And I think something you should try and factor in, if you're going to live through the renovation, you're going to live in the house, which we've done every time. People are like, oh, why don't you move out? I'm like, well, because 6 months, in most rent is six months. You're like, no,
we did actually look at, you know, what is the cost of moving out?
Yeah.
What could we get round here? And it was just not an option.
So what I'm saying is, I think you should factor in moving, having a temporary kitchen in your house somewhere. We luckily had a space big enough for it. So we left with two rooms downstairs in the house, small office, and a front room. So we were like, right, we'll make the front room our living space. So we had dining table, a sofa, TV, et cetera, in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the office, we got the builders. So we paid a tradesman a day's money to move parts of our kitchen. So we had washing machine, dishwasher,
sink.
And a working sink in there, and a little prep area. I put up all the shelves on the walls. So we had all our food, cleaning products.
We had like a camp stove, didn't we?
Yeah, so we had a camp stove.
Air fryer, slow cooker.
So we pretty much had a kitchen.
Yeah.
But realistically, you're going to be living without a kitchen.
Yeah,
six months to 12 months, depends on what you're doing. Mm. Sometimes less, sometimes more. Mm. It's a long time to go running up and down the stairs, washing dishes, etc. I know some people can't help it, but I would almost say, if you're just doing a renovation downstairs, make one of the bedrooms a living space upstairs with a sofa and whatever, and then have the whatever you've got downstairs as your kitchen area, because you can have the plumbing.
So you can still make food, especially as a family.
We made a bit of a mess on the side of our house by having waste plumbed out of there. But we only decided it probably like a couple of weeks before, didn't we? Exactly what we was doing. And it's probably the best thing we did, because once we had that set up, it was horrible. It was like a bit of a pain, but
it
worked. And we didn't have that stress.
Yeah. So there's actually like a tour of our temporary kitchen on YouTube. Wow. I put one up, and like, if anyone is interested in actually seeing it, but it just meant we had this workable kitchen and we didn't have to deliver every day. We could still eat, you know, semi-healthily for the kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can batch cook, put things in the freezer, can't you?
Yeah.
So you've got that there. But it did make a massive difference, because it just meant now we can easily feed the kids.
Yeah.
Which,
and that's all it was.
Hard.
It was like survival, wasn't it? Of them.
We did even look at, you know, you start doing all this research online, but there are these, like, it's like a camper van, but a small, like, you can just rent.
You just
like,
rent a kitchen. Well, you can say how big you want it, because you can have laundry as well, can't you?
Yeah, it's like you can get kitchen, laundry, and a dining table.
Yeah.
So your whole family, you'd go out, cook dinner, eat it in
the
thing.
It's like a pool cabin.
Oh, yeah. It just sits on your drive.
But it was so
and
expensive.
And I did think, oh, that could be an option. But it was as expensive as renting somewhere.
Yeah.
So I just thought, oh, there's no point. Like, let's
just
suffer it.
I mean, they're probably aimed at, like, ridiculous big houses.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we priced it out and we were like, we can't justify that.
It was just too much.
And we had the space to do it, so we were lucky.
That
is a good tip.
But actually, in our previous home, when we did the bathroom up, so we had an ensuite and a bathroom. So when we were without a bath, I remember the kids were really little.
Yeah.
I ended up buying this inflatable bath.
Did we?
Yeah, like just to have in the shower.
Yeah.
So it would sit, do you remember? Because like Jackson was like one. So it would sit at the bottom of the shower, and then you could just like, make it into a bath.
We do that in our
ensuite. Do you remember two of them would get in it? You know, and they're really little in our tiny ensuite shower.
Yeah.
And then I remember taking it away with us once to a place where we knew there was only going to be a shower.
Yeah.
Just to like give them a bath because they were so tiny.
I don't remember that.
I've got pictures of it. There's so much you can find online. Like, people have thought of everything.
Yeah.
You know, you could turn a shower into a bath and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of research, right?
Yeah. Another great tip is to document the process. Obviously, I like to make content anyway.
Yeah.
Yes. But we made a house renovation like Instagram account, which is Emily Norris Home. You can check it out if you want to. It's got loads of information in terms of like what table we bought, what floor we went for, you know, like all the like paint colors and like nitty gritty. I didn't want it on my main page. And then I thought it'd be really nice to document the process anyway.
You don't need to set up an Instagram page, or
if you do set up an Instagram page, it doesn't have to be like for anyone else. It's just for the wow, like look what we did. But take lots of photos and videos of the before and afters because you can't believe how far you've come.
And also, and then, those pictures could come in really handy because you've got pictures of where the pipes are, which I recommend anyway.
Yeah,
for
Matt's
any bar
got a lot of pipe pictures and wire pictures.
Yeah, yeah, wires, pipes, because those, they're worth their weight in gold, really.
They're so good.
Because we, like, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, we put up a dartboard in our eldest bedroom and it backed onto the shower. And I was like, oh, I don't know where the pipes are here. I don't want to be screwing through a pipe.
Some people might worry what pictures their husbands have on their phone. But not me. He's just got pipes, electrics, and the dog.
That's a hack for you dads out there. Take loads of unsuspicious photos and lots of them. They'll get bored scrolling by the time they get to the good stuff.
Stop.
It's my screen grabs. I mean, that is just like the things that I've screen grabbed is that. It's unreal. Or the dog, yeah. Did you just say that?
Yeah, the dog.
Yes, it's the dog. It's or like, the house.
Yeah, can we actually say about how your screen, his phone's, my phone screensaver is my family, the whole family, right? His screensaver is just the dog.
No, this is so dated, Emily.
It's his
not
new
anymore.
Girl in his life.
It's not anymore.
Oh, have you changed it back to the family?
Yeah.
Oh,
you
thanks.
Changed my screensaver. Yeah. It's the boys. Not you, though.
No.
Yeah. Just in case.
Yeah.
I'll be like, oh, they're my brothers.
Oh, God. You wish.
Me when I was a kid and my brothers.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Try to involve your neighbors in the process, which I think is fundamental, actually. It's like quite a good one, isn't it? Good one at the end. I mean, we obviously got planning before we moved in, but had we lived here, I would have approached the neighbors and just said, just so you know, we're applying for planning. This is what we're thinking.
Yeah.
Involve them so they think that they're going to be part of the process.
Yeah. Oh, no, just to reassure them.
Yeah. Yeah. And ask them if they'd have any concerns because they can obviously object.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. No, we were a bit worried though because our move was taking so long, we obviously went through the planning process before we even moved in. So we were worried about, you know, coming in like, bam, like doing all this work. We did sort of befriend them, didn't we?
Sweetened them up, didn't we?
Yes.
And then when it was going on as well, obviously, you don't realise how noisy and major it's going to be. Because we'd renovated before, and this is obviously a bigger renovation, but still, we'd done similar sort of thing, extended out the back and to the side where we're up.
Yeah.
But it is the noise level and you do feel guilty.
Yeah, and we text both sides, and actually one of our neighbours at the time, you know, she had a reason that she was like, can there not be noise before 8, wasn't it?
Yeah, because of their child.
Because he needs to be out or whatever. And then we could like respect that and speak to the builders about, okay, you can do whatever, but then at 8 you can really like get the drills.
And then we're glad we asked them because we didn't even think of that.
No,
did
didn't.
We didn't think that it was... Yeah, the child was affected by noise, especially stuff like that. So thank God we asked because you said, oh, look, if you could just wait
until
he's left
at
for school.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then crack on.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think it's important.
And that's a nice thing to, you know, feel. She feels like, okay, we've actually asked before we've just like.
Yeah, I mean, it still doesn't make up for the level of drilling and stuff that goes on.
No.
But in time, you hope it improves. Like, you know, I mean, you've been.
Oh, yeah, like, no, they've all been great. And actually, whenever we have a party, we invite them as well.
Yeah.
Because, well, obviously they're friends now anyway.
Yeah.
Also, but then also, like, the noise. You can enjoy the noise here.
Yeah, yeah. Come and enjoy it here rather than have to put up it next door.
Yeah.
Some good tips.
Yeah, I think so.
Makes you want to renovate again.
I know, right? We are actually always looking on Rightmove. It is dangerous. But part of me is torn because I think, oh no, I really want the boys to have roots and I want this to be like their family home. Maybe because I never really had like our family home. I think, oh, it's such a nice thing.
I don't think we'd do it to this scale.
No.
I feel like, if anything, we'd do it smaller.
Yeah.
And make it a bit bigger. I don't know, yeah. It's just very, like I've said, it's very addictive.
It is addictive, yeah. It's just that transformational, you know, like you take something like this and then you turn it into this and it's exactly to your, like, your taste.
Yeah. And we, in our last home, I think we finished and then we lived in it for like 4 or 5 years. We've only lived in this for like 2, coming up to 3 years, is it? Like actually finished.
Mm.
So I'm sure.
Maybe got itchy, didn't we? We were like, oh, what can we do? I felt like with our previous home, we did. So there was just, you know, we went out that way and then we went up and then we went, and then in the end, there was nothing else we could do. So we moved.
No. Yeah. We've got some words of wisdom.
Oh, here we go.
I've got a moan as well.
He's very wise.
Not property related. I'm no expert.
You are. You always say, I'm no expert.
No, I'm not.
But
I'm not qualified.
You just said you did 4 renovations. So
Yeah. No, like, we've learned a lot on the job.
That's quite a lot.
We have light sensors in
busy
areas that you don't need light for long. So mainly bathrooms.
Yes. Or the pantry.
So we have one, I don't know if one has a pantry, but like we've got a pantry. This. So you're only ever going in there to grab something and walk out.
Yeah.
So the lights, you just walk in, they automatically come on and then within
for like a minute,
90 seconds they go
off.
You can change the timer on the light. But we've got them in all of our new bathrooms as well. So we have we have a mood light in the bathrooms. It sounds really fancy, but it's not expensive. Like every electrician can do it. And you literally just put, we've got like an up light behind a bath in the two family bathrooms. And then in the downstairs toilet, we've got a light that comes on.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk in and there's a sensor by the door that only turns on when you come in and it gives you enough light to do your business and get out. And then there's, it's hygienic as well, right? Because you're not touching a light switch.
It is like such a luxury, such a small thing. But when you walk into a room and the light just comes on, it just feels like, oh. And actually, sometimes when we go on holiday and I just walk into the bathroom at night, I'm like, where's my light?
Yeah. And also, it's like a toilet that's not soft closed. So you walk in, it's in the dark and you're peeing on the floor and then you slam down this toilet seat. It's not soft closed. And you're like, oh my God, first world problems.
I know. It is. It's funny how like it just feels like such a luxury as well. You walk to the pantry, it's just like the light goes on.
But it is the whole like making your home a hotel. And like,
they aren't,
if you're upgrading your house, it's expensive. Don't get me wrong. Like, if you're doing any renovation,
it's expensive.
But you're, I know it's like, oh, it's another whatever, but it really isn't expensive. It's just a clever touch to do. And it's like a nice feel.
Yeah. The only thing is, like, I think it is 90 seconds the light or whatever. So if you're in there for longer,
doing a number, not me.
But if the boys are like doing a number two.
Oh, the boys, you don't ever.
And they haven't turned their lights on, then you've got to be like.
Yeah, well, when I'm stood up wiping my bum.
Wave your arms, yeah. Oh, yeah,
exactly. It's a lot easier.
No, that is such, that's little touches like that do just make it feel so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
We're lucky.
I know we are, like, but I feel like we've learned, like, you know, we never did anything like that in our previous home.
No.
But, like, it just feels so,
Fourth time around, you learn the tricks
of the trade.
Fourth
time around, yeah.
Because we've got an upstairs utility room, obviously, which is, like, that's a good...
Oh, yeah, our upstairs utility room.
So if you've got the space, I didn't give you a chance. I got so excited about.
I know,
That was actually your idea.
That was my idea, guys. But that came from, like, in Canada, my mum had an upstairs utility room and it's, like, more of a thing... In Canada, I guess, because it makes sense to us because you get undressed upstairs and you get dressed upstairs. So why do we take all of the laundry downstairs to wash and then go all the way back upstairs again? Yeah. And it used to be because, you know, years ago, you'd bring it downstairs because you would hang it in the garden.
Yeah.
But one, we live in England where it rains a lot.
Yeah.
And now everyone has a tumble dryer.
Yeah. I mean, we hang dry stuff anyway upstairs, don't we?
Oh, yeah. We hang dry upstairs.
Because our room gets quite warm.
Yeah. And we've got like rads upstairs to hang it near. But so when we moved into this house, we were like, oh my God, we can have an upstairs utility room.
Yeah.
And then it meant that the utility, you know, we could have a pantry instead of a utility room. So all that sort of worked out. But that was a really nice. But even little things, it's almost like, you know, whoever the architect is, or if you work with a designer, is asking those questions. Like when we added on our bedroom, like, can we also build into the loft?
Yeah.
Can we just have a high ceiling into the loft? If we hadn't asked that, we would have just, you know, had a smaller ceiling. But actually, that space was there. Yeah. We might as well
have it. But then again, that was all from previous experience.
Mm.
So no, because we did that in our previous house.
With
our oldest, we had a big enough loft, and it's like we don't really use it, and you're just going to put a load of crap up there anyway. But again, it's from finding stuff on Pinterest, Instagram, inspiration. Thinking, I'd like to do that. I guess you have got to have not an eye for it, but you've got to.
So Matt's going to start taking. He's going to start consulting. Just kidding. Yeah. Send it to Matt. He'll tell you what he thinks.
Well, then I should probably go on to my moan then, shouldn't I?
Oh, yeah. What's this?
It's got absolutely nothing to do with renovation. I tried to like think of one. I've got a list of moans.
He's got a lot of moans.
Page 412. I was trying to think of one to do with renovation, and I couldn't. Like, in the thick of renovating, I probably could have thought of something. No, it was something else. We've just been away. It's been these holidays, and it got me thinking. I actually wrote this one down while I was away. So there's like kind of like two ways of looking at this. My moan is, bear with me, but I feel like people are going to be able to relate to this. But it is where I'm getting a miserable old man. I admit that. My moan is people, like, this happens in a supermarket for me quite a lot, or like a local store, going into work on their day off. So to their job.
Like, okay.
So I know I work at wherever, my shop, whatever, and I go in on my day off and I'm just hanging around on my day off, yet probably when they were working, they're moaning about being work, but they're in there acting like they own the place.
I don't know anyone that does that, though.
Oh, see, now I've said it, though, you're going to notice it. You know, so someone
goes and hangs out, like, at the cafe they work at.
Yeah, or, like, in the local co-op or Tesco, you know what I mean? And they're there, like, hanging around, like, oh, what's happening in L4 today? I know there's going to be people out there that know what I'm talking about.
This is such a random
But moan. What made me think about it on holiday was on the plane, which is a bit similar, was like air crew, like air, what are they called? Air hostess. Air stewardess. People flying that are air stewards or air stewardesses on a flight. Yeah. And then, like,
but they're not hanging out at work. They're just getting a flight somewhere.
No, they're getting a flight, but they make it known this is what they do for a living. And then, like, every time the air steward or air stewardess walks past, they have to, like, crack a joke. And it's like, oh, just let them get on with their job. It's like, oh, and they probably get a few more fizzy drinks than everyone else does. And it's like, I don't know. I'm just like, oh, just rest.
Have a day off.
I'm sure people know what I'm talking about. I know I'm getting miserable and whatever, but, like, it just doesn't annoy me. It just makes me, like,
that's so random.
When I'm it always happens. It always happens in a supermarket. You see someone's like, oh, and, like, you know the staff because you go there all the time. You're like, oh, that they're in on their day off and they're just like hanging around. It's like, it's nice because obviously
they just love it.
Obviously, like
so
their job.
Much.
But I think, like, I swear you was moaning about being here yesterday and then you're in it. Is that really moany of me?
It's just weird because
on the aeroplane.
I think it's just stemmed from the guy on the.
I've seen it a few times, and like you often get they're too right. They probably get a priority when they go on a plane. They probably get put in the better seats or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, I've noticed it when a stag doing this guy and at the front, he's just talking to them the whole time. But I could tell it was annoying some of the workers a little bit. He's like, oh, can we just get on with our job a little bit here? And it's like, I don't know, like, oh, where did you fly yesterday? Oh.
Yeah. I tell you something, this is so random as well.
No, I'll say that out loud.
If you're still
really
watching though, I'm feeling like you're going to hang on for this. We were on our flight, weren't we, on the way back from our holiday at Easter. And we had, the five of us, we were kind of like all in a row. So it was like me and Matt, in one row, and then the three boys were all together. And then next to me, a mum sat, didn't she?
Yeah.
And she was really faffy, and like, bless her, she hadn't like chosen the seats before, because you had to pay to choose the seats. And she was like, I'm not paying that. We've already paid whatever for the holiday, which is fair enough. But it meant that her four-year-old and her seven-year-old were sitting away from her and her husband.
Yeah. I mean, it's really bad that families,
neither of them,
the only reason why you
her.
Would pay is because you have young children. Like, otherwise you'd be like, oh, they're grown up. Like, we'll take the risk. We'll get put separately. I still think up to of a child age, that even up to, is it 16?
Four and seven on a 10-hour flight.
That's a risk,
I
right?
Thought...
And then get on and moans that people won't move.
Yeah.
You see all these clips online,
but
though.
But that's how I felt. I really felt so torn in the moment, because she was faffing, the husband was faffing, the kids were on their own. They actually seemed fine.
Yeah.
But how long for, you know?
And also, they probably spent how much on a holiday? I just think, like, go for one less night.
Well, no, but that's what I felt like saying. Oh, you can have our seats. But then I thought, well, we're going to be really far from our kids. And we paid the £300 or whatever it was for the extra to make sure we all sat together. But I felt so torn as to what to do. I thought, should I just give her my seat? But then I thought, well, then we're not going to be with our kids. And I was just like,
because
well,
you see
know
those clips online, don't you? Like, and then someone sat in a window seat and they won't move. And they're like, no, I paid to sit here. And it's like, so that a mother can sit with their child. And like, you see both sides of the argument. And like, we've got children. But I think like, they obviously... It's the way they did present the content as well. It's like this really bad person, she's refusing to move. And it's like, well, no, like she has paid as well. I really don't think, I think it should be factored into the price, and then you just get to choose your seats.
I think if they've got a child that's under 10 years old, like surely they need to sit with their dad
they
or
generally,
their mum.
They generally do, don't try and put them together, don't
no,
they?
But I think it must have just been a really full flight, because it was all going on our flight, wasn't it?
I think I heard her say something like, when she could, so she obviously didn't pay, but then I think you within 24 hours when you check in, you can then choose your seats.
No,
but
she was
traveling
to the flight.
But she
as
said
well.
She was traveling at the time that it would have come up. So 24 hours before, you can go on and you probably can choose your seats.
No, I think she said as well, you know, like as you check in, she was also late to the flight, but it was just like, I just felt really torn in the moment. But then I also heard this guy, and he said that they did a similar thing. They didn't pay for the seats, whatever. So then he went to sit down. There's just a couple. And then he went, and it was a three. And this husband and wife had booked the two side seats.
Yeah.
So he was in the middle.
Yeah.
But they were talking over him. So it was obviously they were together. Yeah. So he was like, he complained and said, they need to just sit next to each other rather than just talking over me.
They were hoping to get a free seat, right?
They were hoping to have like an empty seat between them, but it was Easter holidays. So then the stewardess made them sit together, and then for the whole flight they were annoyed. He was having to sit with them, annoyed at him. And it was just like, all happening. Anyway, I don't know how we got onto this.
Yeah. Renovation.
Yeah.
Makes you want to go on holiday. factory in Birmingham to go on holiday as well.
Yeah, to get away from your house renovation. Yeah. We hope that this has been helpful. I know it was a little bit niche, but those are genuinely 10 things that we wish someone had told us about before we started renovating. And renovation and moving house, like, they're all like really big life moments. So we thought it would be a good one to cover, especially with all of Matt's knowledge. But yeah, thank you so much for listening and watching. Please comment down below and rate and review this podcast wherever you listen to them. And we're actually going to start getting some guests onto the podcast.
Because we've had enough of each other.
Yes, we have. We've been chatting for 10 weeks now. We feel like now it might be a good time to bring in some experts.
Introduce someone else into our relationship.
Yeah, some experts in their field. Oh, God. But we're going to be having some doctors on, some finance experts, some celebrity mums, like all kinds of different guests. But we would absolutely love to know in the comments or in my DMs on Instagram if there's anyone you would love to see
or
here.
If you're an expert in a chosen field.
Yes, if you are an expert in, I don't know, psychology or whatever it is. If it's to do with like parenting and babies, that would be...
Where you should sit on an airplane.
Amazing. Exactly. We would love to know who you'd like to see on this podcast. So definitely let us know. And we will see you guys next week. And bye.
See ya.
Bye, babe.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.